Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello and welcome. It's Tuesday. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. And remember, today is True Crime Tuesday as well. We've got a brand new episode of True Crime Tuesday and some dumb crime, stupid criminals waiting for you. Troy Taylor is our guest as we talk about a chilling story. Murder and haunting. That's what's all involved in today's True Crime Tuesday. If you haven't signed up yet, here's what you can do. Go to darknessradio.com, click on the True Crime Tuesday banner, and subscribe now. As a matter of fact, everybody that subscribes between now and November 22nd is going to be added into a drawing, and you may be drawn. We're going to draw three names on my birthday, November 22nd. We're going to give away 3 one-year memberships to True Crime Tuesday. So you may get a full one-year membership. All you have to do is go sign up. And it's only $5 a month to get the best in true crime talk radio. And it's a month-to-month service. If you decide you don't want to have any more, you don't like it, it's not your fit, you can quit and cancel anytime. So go check it out. Sign up right now. You can do that again at darknessradio.com. Click on that True Crime Tuesday banner. Take advantage of the special right now and be entered into the drawing to possibly win a one-year subscription for True Crime Tuesday. Tonight, we've got a great guest joining us. Maria D'Andrea is an internationally known professional psychic from Budapest, Hungary. Since early childhood, she's demonstrated high spiritual awareness and psychic ability. Now, over her lifetime and as a spiritual leader, she has provided psychic guidance and enlightenment to many people, assisting them on their own personal path of spiritual self-discovery. Maria is known for a unique form of divination called rune casting. We'll find out a little bit about that. And this method was used by Vikings and Europeans to unlock information about the past, present, and future by tapping into the universal mind. Tonight, she's here to talk with us about strange creatures, from the djinn to aliens and interdimensional beings. Plus, we're going to discuss curses and the reversals. We'll do that tonight. Maria, welcome to the show, and thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me on your show. I'm really excited about it.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. Let me find out a little bit about you before we start tackling all of these interesting topics. You're a psychic. Are you a medium as well?
Actually, I do everything except astrology.
Okay. All right.
So basically, I do mediumship. I do runes. I always look at it as if something does not move fast enough, I can read it.
I like that. I like that. How long have you realized that you had these abilities?
Well, actually, I've always been psychic. It's more that when I started going to kindergarten, I realized everybody doesn't see people that passed away. They don't seem to talk to the same entities that I did. So I learned that, oh, maybe I shouldn't talk about it in school. And then I got to junior high and I went, oh, what the heck? This is just me. So I've always been able to do this.
So you had this ability and you could talk to the dead. Were you seeing them as total physical forms? Were they more ethereal and ghost-like? How did that look to you?
Well, actually, it really does shift. Sometimes I see them where, for a second, they look very physical. Sometimes it's a little bit where you can see through them somewhat. Okay. And sometimes I don't see them. Sometimes I hear them. Sometimes I sense them. Sometimes I just know that they're there. And I've had some experiences where I kind of went, uh-oh. Yeah.
Well, we're definitely going to want to
hear. Sometimes it's a surprise.
Yeah, we're going to want to hear about those. So you've got this ability to communicate with the dead since youth, and you knew that they were there. And to you, it just seemed a natural part of life. You didn't realize other people didn't have this ability.
No, and I honestly believe that everybody has that ability. It's just that everybody isn't meant to use it the same way.
Okay.
I tend to look at it as some people are artists, but everybody can draw. So it's just a matter of levels. I really do feel it's an instinct, and it's a survival instinct. So I teach a lot of classes on it because I truly believe everybody can do this. It doesn't mean everybody's interested in it or meant to do it.
Right.
You know, but it does mean that everybody has the ability. And I find I have adult sons, and both of them are in different professions, but they still do readings and healing and other things. And when they were little, you know, they were seeing things and talking to things and feeling things. The only difference was I didn't tell them not to.
Okay. All right. So you were very forward about allowing them to develop these experiences and not feel. Was your family supportive that way? Did they make you feel normal that you were having these abilities, or did they try to shut you down?
Well, I'm from Hungary. I'm from Budapest. And my father never left Hungary. And he was always psychic. His whole life, he was always psychic. Then on my mother's side of the family, both my grandparents were transmediums, and my grandfather also did automatic writing. And my mother wasn't really into that, but she was into herbs and other things. So it tends to be a little bit natural if nobody's telling you you can't. Especially if they're telling you you can't and you've already done it.
But they weren't. But they never tried to mute you or turn you off.
No.
Oh, great.
No. They also didn't talk about it too much because, you know, I tend to look at it as breathing. When you're breathing, you're really not discussing it. You just assume everybody else is.
Now, let me ask you what may sound like a strange question, but I don't think I've ever asked this of somebody in your ability and with your background. You lived in Budapest, correct?
Yes.
Okay. The things that you would see there, do they vary from beings, creatures, elementals that you see in the United States?
No, they really don't. The
okay.
only thing that is different is ethnically people that passed away.
All right.
So as an example, in Hungary, I would see people more, as an example, dressed in Renaissance clothes or depending on the culture because, you know, Hungary, if you look at the map, is a very, very tiny country. And I mm-hmm. figure most other countries at some point already took it over.
Okay. Hungary is just an oasis on the takeover map of
pretty much
of politics.
Pretty much,
okay. But you don't see, you know, since we're going to talk about the djinn and aliens and interdimensional beings, it's not like there are different species or races that populate different parts of the world, are there?
A little bit variety happens to be there, mm-hmm. but the base would be the same.
Okay.
Yeah. So they might look a tiny bit different. As an example, if you're dealing with elemental spirits, as an example, the king of the salamanders would connect to the energy of fire. And it's going to be the same no matter where you go in what country because elemental spirits are elemental spirits.
Right. Well, Pokemon taught us that. Charizard and Charmander. Right. I'm sorry. You can tell I have too many kids on my hands, Maria. All right.
Been there, done that.
So you've got these abilities. You've seen things. You hear things. So you've got the full spectrum. You're clair. What's the right term I'm looking for? I know clairaudient means you can hear it. Clairgustance, you can smell it. Clairsentient, that's what I'm thinking of. So you have all the abilities.
And I do pretty much the other ones also. Honestly never know how I'm going to get the information. It's always a surprise which form.
Well, let me before I get into the monsters and beings mm-hmm. and creatures, let me ask you about that. If spirit is there to help us, Maria, why all of the ridiculous games? Why all of the coded messages? You know, I mean, it's not like they're afraid God is tapping their line and they've got to speak in code, right? Why not just, when I ask where's the safety deposit box key, why not just say it's under the floor mat in the car? Why is it always, you know, these, oh, they're holding out a rose and this and that and never really directly answering questions for the most part?
First of all, I'm right there with you on that one. However, I find it's a combination of things.
Mm-hmm.
when we're picking up information, I found that part of it is how we're receptive at that moment, clairaudient, clairvoyant, clairsentient, whatever. And part of it is how their level of ability is on how to send information. So sometimes that's why it's so convoluted. The other part of that, though, that people don't think about is, say they ask a question about where the keys are. Sometimes you're not going to get a symbol, you're not going to feel anything, and then say 20 minutes later, all of a sudden you have an urge to go somewhere and there are your keys. You're just not going to connect it to where you got the urge from.
Okay. All right. I understand that.
So you never know how you're going to actually get the information. Also, I find sometimes there's a reason why you're not meant to find it at that moment, and you'll find it a week later. Sometimes I've had where I put something down, and I have, like, prankster spirits in my house, and they don't bother me, so we're good. And some of my things will disappear, and it's like they just put it into the black hole.
Okay. They're just hiding it for a while.
Later.
Okay. And do they ever explain to you why they do that? I mean, what's the, again?
No, they're pranksters.
Sometimes
they're just pranksters.
Okay.
I find I deal with two Native American teenagers, and they're just male, and they're just pranksters. So it's really funny because they'll ring my doorbell at 3 a.m. I used to answer my door. And at one point, it kept ringing on and off, and my sons would go and answer the door. There'd be nobody there. And they actually said to me once, look, we're done answering the door. They're your friends. Either you answer it and tell them to go away or not, because we're not getting up anymore.
All right. So you set those guidelines. Did that stop the pranksters from ringing the bell?
No, it toned it down for a while, and then months later it came back. It's a mood thing. Sometimes they don't show up for years. Sometimes they pop up. You never know.
Do you ever address them and go, hey, come on, that's annoying. If you have a message, come knock on my nightstand. Don't ring the doorbell.
Oh, definitely. And then they usually stop. They're just pranksters. They're not really giving me information.
They're just
playing.
Goofy. All right. Well, now talk to me about, you said you've had some interesting moments. Tell me about some of the creepiest moments you've ever had with this ability. I've got to guess that's, even though you're kind of attuned to it and probably desensitized in the fact that, like, I would be freaked out if suddenly I saw a dead person in my room. You're probably used to that. What is it that scares you? What has unnerved you when you've witnessed it?
Okay, well, first of all, what I've done is I do teach psychic self-defense. I truly feel that whatever form of protection anybody uses does not have to be my form. Okay, we need to use that because we'll keep negative things at a distance. It doesn't mean we don't see them. It just means they can't affect us.
Okay.
And I find I don't tend to see that much at night because I just put barriers up because, honestly, I do not want to wake up to them.
All right.
But earlier in my life, I didn't know that. And there's a ritual that we do that, for lack of a better word, wakes up a spirit, and you ask them to come and help you. Mm-hmm. And the way the ritual works, it's very ancient and it's more European. And the way it works is that you ask for physical confirmation within 3 days if they want to work with you. If they don't want to help you, then, you just don't get anything. Now, first of all, even if you look at any of my books or anything I ever teach, I never, never do anything negative because I truly believe whatever you put out comes back. I just don't do negative. Never have.
Good.
And I really truly feel there's more power in the positive. You know, less impressive sometimes, less dramatic, but there's more power in it. So I did this ritual, and I actually did it for a client to help him. And I did this ritual, and the first night I didn't get anything. By the second night, we have a physical life, and I forgot about it. So I was single at the time, and I was sleeping, and somebody physically touched my arm and pushed me. So being that I used to be married, I moved over. You know how it is.
Well, that's very accommodating, right? Of you. Sure.
It's like, it's like your automatic response because you're asleep. You're not thinking logically. And then it happened a second time, same reaction. The third time I almost fell off the bed and I went, Oh, yeah. I'm by myself. When I tell you I slept with, I didn't sleep all night. I left the light on. I kept saying, I'm okay with seeing you. I'm okay with you touching me, but I'm going to leave the light on.
Right.
So the first time I ever did that, it really scared me because I was like, oh, it really is a physical confirmation.
And have you seen things, otherworldly things, whether you want to call them elementals, the demonic realm, whatever title fits it, have you physically seen those things yourself?
Well, I've seen both. I've seen the positive and the negative.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is I do go out of body, and I teach it, but I do go out of body consciously. And sometimes we see things a little bit farther away because, like I said, we do protection, so we're always safe, that are, you know, really scary. However, consciously, you always know that you're safe. And what people don't realize is we in the physical body, so because of free will, we always have control over anything negative or positive in the spiritual realm or interdimensionally as long as we remember that. Sometimes it's scary and you forget it for a second. You know, it's a reflex. And then we just have to remember, oh, yeah, we're the ones in charge. So I've seen very positive things. On the other hand, I wouldn't call them demonic. It's very rare if you actually see a demon because there's a hierarchy. Just like on the positive side, you have positive spirits, angels, archangels as an example, depending on your cultural belief. On the negative side, as an example, you have negative spirits, negative entities, demons. Usually, we don't really run across demons that frequently because they're not really concerned in our mundane lives. They want to affect people that have a global or a community effect.
Like radio show hosts?
Well, possibly.
Oh, geez.
That's why you want to be protected.
All right, yeah. I should have learned about protection 7 kids ago, but now I'm going to learn. Oh, I'm sorry, 8 kids ago. I seem to forget I've just found a daughter I didn't know existed. So protection, yes, that is something that's very important.
It's like surprise.
Right, when you're dealing with the supernatural. I do that. I do a prayer before I engage in investigations or study, and I will often do the prayer before I come home, while I'm at the location before I leave, and I just try to make sure that I've kind of kept everything from me so that it doesn't come with me and get to my children because they're ill prepared for that. And I don't want, you know, I just don't want the ill effect of daddy's work to come home and plague my family.
Oh, exactly. Well, I find along the line of children, mm-hmm. there's a very ancient spell that was updated to Christianity, but it's actually an ancient protection spell and everybody can use it, but it's mainly meant for children.
Okay.
Because children will learn it as a little prayer.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really consciously thinking about it, but when they do that, they put up protection around their bed while they're sleeping. And it's a very easy one to learn, and adults use it too. But basically, I used it with my kids, so they've always been protected because I have all sorts of fun things in my house.
All right. All right. Can you tell us what this little protective prayer is?
Sure. It's very, very simple. And remember, it's updated to Christianity now because, you know, Christianity sometimes goes, oh, we don't like the deities you people were dealing with, even though it was positive and protection. So the prayer goes as, there are 4 corners on my bed. There are 4 angels at the head. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, please protect the bed that I lay on. Very easy, right?
Well, it's a hell of a lot better than the prayer I learned, which was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I wake. And I thought, what kind of prayer are you teaching me, Mom? And it's no wonder my head is so screwed up, Maria, and I'm terrified of death. That was the prayer I was taught. As I'm going to bed, I'm comforted with the thought of, if I should die before I wake, give my toys to Uncle Jake, or however the stupid prayer ended. But it's just like, oh my God, yours is much nicer. So it's you're doing kind of an evocation spell.
You definitely are. Because originally you were calling in positive entities, mm-hmm. you know, positive deities, actually,
right.
to come and protect yourself.
Right.
And then, you know, we changed it more where we wanted our children to be safe. And they just said it automatically because we teach them when you go to bed, you can say the Lord's Prayer or you can say this. And they're automatically protected. As they get older, you actually tell them it's a protection prayer. And then usually it follows them into adulthood.
But here's the thing. So, if millions of us are calling upon these archangels to protect us, I mean, especially if they're calling on the four big ones, how are the four big ones able to protect all of us at the same time? Don't they, you know, aren't we spreading them a little thin?
Actually, no, because first of all, you have to remember they're not in a physical body.
Okay.
So if you look at the holographic universe,
mm-hmm. okay,
now, first of all, I have to laugh because we do magic, which is the oldest science. So as an example, chemistry came out of alchemy. Physics came out of, well, occult, but metaphysics. And occult just means ancient wisdom, hidden knowledge. It isn't positive or negative. Mm-hmm. It's neutral. It's dealing with the elements of nature.
Sure.
We are positive or negative in how we use them.
And trigonometry yeah. came from hell.
Yeah.
These things I remember from grade
I agree
school.
With that
yes,
one.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when you think of the holographic universe, mm-hmm. we really look at it as an example. One cell, if you take one cell of your body, it has all the potential of every cell in your body. So when you're thinking of deities, they can be everywhere at the same time. But that's the basic principle for it. Okay. Well, in magic, we just look at it as they can be everywhere at all times because they don't have a physical body. But probably the holographic universe is one of the easiest ways to relate it to science.
All right. That makes sense to me. And we're back. Maria DeAndrea, our guest tonight, as we're going to be talking about strange creatures from the djinn to aliens and interdimensional beings and curses. This is all part of this evening's programming. Fun stuff. Nice, lighthearted conversation as you're drifting off to sleep or listening to us in your cubicle at work. I'm so fascinated by these abilities to see and witness these things. And I do want to make a quick mention and we'll remind people a little later on in the episode. For people that are interested in your teachings and in readings with you, how do they reach out and what's the best website to visit?
Okay. Well, first of all, they can call me on my cell number, depending
okay.
on where they are, which is 631-559-1248.
Why don't you give that number one more time?
It's 631-559-1248. And my email address is just my first initial and last name. So it's mdandrea100@gmail.com. And for my site, all they really have to do is put in mariadeandrea.com or ministry.mariadeandrea. And I have a wonderful, wonderful web guy, and he put my site as Maria DeAndrea because I'm not too literate with computers,
okay.
and he said I have a shot at remembering it that way.
That's right. We'll put up a link to that so that you can find her email and her phone number right on the website. And, you know, you threw a little challenge to me before we got on air tonight about asking you some psychic questions, and I feel very comfortable with you. So a little bit later on, I might have a question or two coming your way. But let's talk about these strange creatures and things that we refer to as elementals or the demonic realm, djinn. Are these beings interchangeable? Are those names interchangeable or are there different species, actual species?
I would look at it as there really are different types, different species. If you're looking at, as an example, the djinn mm-hmm. are actually elemental spirits. People just don't think of it in that term.
Okay.
And actually, they've always been around. They were here before man. So they're very, very powerful. You have to be really very conscious and focused if you call them in to help you with situations because you have positive and negative. Just like with people, we have positive and negative. So you always want to make sure that you're only calling in the positive. Because you really don't want to get hurt, for one. Also, it's harder to control the negative spirits or the negative djinn. It doesn't mean we can't, It's just that we have to be much more positive about it.
So
as an example,
is this kind of like the old story of the monkey's paw? You may get what you wish for, but
exactly.
there could be repercussions. With every wish, there comes a curse kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, first of all, if you're looking at them, they're basically looked at as supernatural beings of power.
Right.
So they're connected mainly to stories when you think about like the Arabian and the Islamic theology. However, they're also connected to Asia, Egypt, Korea, North Africa, all of Europe. And they really are considered all over the world. So people connected to living, as an example, they live underground, in deserts, in the woods, in areas with trees and seashores. So they really are everywhere. Whether we work with them or not, they're still around. And they actually looked at it as they were here about 2,000 years before Adam was created. So very, very ancient beings.
Are these, and in fact, then kind of the fallen angels that we've heard referenced in the Bible? Is that basically what the jinn would be?
No, they have their own species.
Okay.
So, you know, like you were saying earlier, and basically, they're looking at it as they're formed from tremendous heat. Sometimes that's why they look like smoke. And they can be non-visible or in the physical state. So sometimes you can see them as gigantic beings and they can change their shape. Either you're seeing them with psychic vision. In ancient times, they saw them in both ways. Right now, not as much.
Okay.
And the funny part is, they tend to attach themselves to some form of light. That's where the story of Aladdin's lamp came from.
Oh, really? All right.
And they really have a very strong desire to work with humans to help. Again, not all of them.
Right.
So when you're working with them, one of the most important things is your intent. Or, you know, we have different tools to summon the jinn or other beings. But what I always tell people, the most important tool that you need to summon is you. Because it's not that we don't do rituals and we don't do ceremonial magic, as an example. But the only tool you actually truly need is you. Everything else is kind of like charging a battery.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And in fact, most people confuse evocation with invocation, and they're two different things. I actually have a book on evocation because they're two completely different things.
All right. Can you give us a quick little Reader's Digest version? What is evocation and the difference between that and invocation?
If you're doing evocation, you're calling in a spirit or an entity or a being where you're calling them in to be apart from you. So as an example, standing near you, in front of you, but at a distance physically from you. And usually when you were doing evocation on a very heavy level, we have as an example a ritual where we're drawing a triangle so that we contain that spirit or entity so it can't really affect us, just in case.
Okay.
But basically what we're doing with or without getting into rituals, what we're doing is we're calling in on the level or summoning on the level that it is in front of us. In some form. When you're doing invocation, you're calling in a spirit or entity to literally come into you. As an example, when sometimes you're channeling, you're having a spirit coming in. So when you're channeling, you really don't know what you're saying because it's not you.
Gotcha.
Okay. Now, I've done invocation
the quick,
by accident.
That's the quick reference is invocation
exactly.
Means you invite it inside of you. Which
exactly.
You need to be careful about.
We don't want to do that.
Right. Evocation is simply summoning it to do your bidding for you as opposed to through you. Okay.
You know, or just to ask questions or to get knowledge or to get insight into your own life, depending on what type of being you're calling in and for what purpose. Your intent is always crucial. And I find that, as an example, the first time I did invocation, it was by accident.
Wait a minute, Maria. How do you accidentally invite something into you?
Well, it's really funny. Well, you know, I do psychic readings.
Right.
And I deal with you know, the spiritual, psychic, and the paranormal fields because I'm a public speaker. You know, and I travel everywhere to do speaking. And for a period of time, I was working at a place where I was doing readings all day. And it was consistent for a couple of days. And for about maybe a month or two, I was doing spiritual work. I was dealing with readings. And it was very consistent. And I was doing a reading for this very, very nice lady one day. And I had some other people around me that know me. And I was doing the reading. And all of a sudden, it felt like I was in a room. And it was all gray. I didn't see a floor, ceiling, or anything. But you felt like you were standing on something. And you're in this gray room. And it felt like in front of the room, there was somebody speaking. And while the person was speaking, I'm thinking about what I'm doing the rest of the day. I'm thinking about what I want to do later on. You know, so I'm thinking about all these mundane things. And the whole time I'm hearing somebody in the front of the room speaking. And at one point I remember thinking, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard anybody say. And as soon as I thought that, I realized it was me speaking.
So your consciousness was mocking what you were hearing.
Yeah, it was. And as soon as I thought that, I just snapped out of it. So now I'm looking at this woman, you know, who's thrilled because it's really accurate. And I'm looking at this woman and I'm thinking, did my head spin? did my voice change? Apparently nothing happened outwardly, but I didn't know.
Right.
However, it's happened to me once or twice after that when I could control it. I've decided I'm a Leo. I decided I don't like to give up control 100%, so I'm doing evocation. I don't want to do it the other way.
All right.
It's a preference.
Right. No, I completely understand that. Can you – all right. So first of all, from my understanding and what I've heard of the djinn in the past is they're usually a darker character who have their own agenda. And calling upon them can usually just bring about – issues for you. Now, you said there are good djinn and bad djinn?
Exactly.
All right. Okay. So if you're calling, how do you know? I mean, it's not like, you know, they carry membership cards and I'm like, oh, I call upon the djinn and, oh, I don't even want to say that out loud. You know, only good djinn, cold djinn would be really good. But if you're calling upon them, how do you know the difference? What can you do? Because again, won't the bad djinn come as bearers of light to look appealing and trustworthy?
Well, of course, I find that a lot of negative entities in general, including the djinn, you know, they come off very friendly because, you know, again, you know, they lie.
Okay. You know?
But there are things that you do ahead of time to prepare, like you were saying, like you do prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, I do a different form of protection, but any form of protection anybody uses, you know, that works, we're good. So you do some form of preparation along that line. Okay, before you call in, you check to see what specific entity or djinn that you're calling in or deity. So you want to know the name. You might want to know a symbol or a sigil that represents them because that gives you a different link.
But okay? Can't they lie to you?
You want to make sure you know what you're talking about so you know what type you're calling in ahead of time.
All right.
Okay. Then you, before you do all that, I usually suggest that you do some form of meditation because meditation is the link between the two realities of man and spirit. So it's a way for you to tune in.
Okay.
Okay.
What happens though? I mean, if there are evil djinn out there, how do you know? And I don't mean this to sound flippant or, you know, light,
no,
but
of course not.
And I call in a djinn and I need your name. And he goes, Barry. My name is Barry.
Well, first of all,
you know, and it's a fake name. Right? How do I know that they're not just telling me what they want me to hear so that I open up? Because we've heard that about some dark spirits and malevolent spirits will sometimes take on the guise of children or loved ones in order to get us to open up to them, and then that's how oppression and possession can begin.
Okay. Well, first of all, you're not asking them the name. What you're doing is you know the name ahead of time and exactly what their job is, for lack of a better term.
All right, so is there a directory? Is there a directory out there for the djinn so I can...
Well, there's a couple, as an example.
Like a handyman?
Yeah, Okay, as an example, in my book, I have the names of jinn and their sigils. I only have positive because, again, I only do positive.
Right.
But if you research it, there is information out there about different jinn and what their job is. So, and it really is their purpose. Their purpose is to help us. And you really want to be careful, even with, as an example, nature spirits, because they have specific jobs. So as an example, if you're calling in a jinn to help you in business and in finance, okay, that's what their job is. So if you're calling in that jinn by name and you're asking it to help in your love life, it doesn't know how. It's not its job. It doesn't mean it doesn't want to, but you're calling in the wrong one for the wrong purpose.
Gotcha.
So we really do need to be aware. And when we're using protection first, psychic self-defense, like I said, in any form, when we're doing that, what happens is if we call in the wrong one and it turns out to be negative, it will not be able to get to us. We're 100% safe. So it's really important to be consciously aware. But again, whether you're using different tools or not, or you're just going direct and you're calling them in, you really have to do a little research ahead of time, especially with the
It's like wholesale magic. Go direct, right?
Yeah, you know what's funny?
Right.
I've had a student since, 85, which just aged me. And he's still with me. Now he's a businessman. He has kids. He was in college when I met him. And he's been one of my students for years. And I'm always saying, I go direct. And he called me up one day and he says to me, IGD. And, you know, I hate to admit I wasn't that smart. And I kind of went, what does that mean? So after he stopped laughing, he goes, I go direct.
That's right. And is that a better way? I mean, should we avoid evoking the jinn to help us? Is it safer to just evoke angels? Because I guess angels have jobs too, right? They're guardians and can
Definitely.
Assist us, and saints. I mean, would that be, unless, I guess if you're just not theologically balanced or have, you know, atheistic tendencies or beliefs, maybe the jinn would be a better source to call upon than you would call upon angels and saints.
Well, it depends on your belief system.
Right.
Okay. Whatever you're comfortable with, those are the elements that you deal with. Okay. So as an example, if I'm calling in, how can I put this? Okay. Say I'm doing protection and I'm using prayer as a method.
Right.
Okay. Now I'm an interfaith minister and I'm a shaman through Europe and with the Tuscarora tribe, and I'm connected to some of the tribes where I live now in New York. However, if I'm doing prayer, that's one source. But if I'm doing a protection prayer and I'm teaching it to somebody, Native American as an example, I'm not going to say God. I'm going to say Mother Earth, Father Sky. It has to fit your belief system, or it doesn't have the same level of power. So if I'm teaching a class as an example and I'm saying divine power, I always tell people initially, anytime I say God, divine power, substitute your word for whatever your belief system is, because that's what resonates frequency-wise with your energy for it to work.
So for atheists, could they just keen in into their own being and say, you know, I call upon the inner Dave, and I'm you know, I ask him to come forth and help aid me, meaning that I'm reaching out to my own consciousness, my own ego and id.
Yeah, your own higher self.
Right.
You know, so usually they would do to universal power, because
okay.
It's the universe. Or they can actually do that, because when you're connecting to your higher self, you're connecting to a source beyond your higher self. So being an interfaith minister, I tend to look at it as there's one source. I don't really care what you call it, which didn't come out the way I meant it.
I gotcha.
But you know what I mean.
Right.
I'm not saying you have to believe in my system. As long as you have a system that's positive, we're good.
Right. As long as that's where you're focused on. We need
exactly.
to take a break, and we'll come back. Let's talk about aliens, interdimensional beings. Are we misunderstanding and misrepresenting where these creatures are coming from? Are they really from outer space, or are they from around us all the time? It's just when we're able to see them or not. We'll talk with our guest about that. We'll also talk about curses and reversals. And we'll talk about so much more when we return to the show.
Beyond the Darkness.
Hello, welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. And well, if you can't get enough of me this week, I've got the gift of me. I just keep on giving. You can join me as I host Coast to Coast AM. So you get 5 days of Beyond the Darkness this week, plus True Crime Tuesday. And you're going to get to hear me Friday night and Saturday night on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to have a little fun in the pop music world. We'll be talking with Mike Nesmith here in the 51st anniversary of the Monkees. We'll talk with him for the first couple hours, open up phone lines for the last few hours, and just have a grand old time. Saturday, it is a night of true crime. We're going to talk to Amaryllis Vox, and we'll also be talking to Jeff Mudgett, the great-great-grandson of H.H. Holmes, as we talk about the new series American Ripper that appeared on History Channel. If you missed it, you've got to check it out. You can get the History Channel app and actually watch it right from your smartphone or device. It is a great series. If you haven't seen it now, it will certainly open up your mind and give you a lot more to think about. We're going to talk about some of the findings that were even surprising to Jeff, who's been studying this diligently for over 20 years. We'll talk about some of the new findings in the series and where do we go from here now that all of this great information has been unearthed. Literally and figuratively. So that's taking place on Saturday. If you'd like to find a station in your area that plays Coast to Coast AM, just check out coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com. And click on the stations tab. You'll be able to find stations across the nation that rock with the show. And you can listen to it on XM Sirius. There's all the ways to listen to it right there. Or you can just listen to it right from our home studio link at knsiradio.com. knsiradio.com out of St. Cloud. They are my broadcasting home for Coast to Coast AM, so you can listen to us anytime just by checking that out. All right, we're back. Maria DeAndrea, our guest, occultist, psychic, shaman, author, you name it, she does it. She's here with us tonight as we're talking about strange creatures from the djinn to aliens and interdimensional beings. We'll also be covering curses and their reversals. Talk to me a little bit about beings like interdimensional and aliens. Are we mistaking these beings? Are they not from outer space? Are they from right here around us?
I find that it's a combination. So as an example, I do feel that there are spiritual beings that are on our planet, or I was trying to think of a way to say this, but really in the core of the, towards the core of the planet. Because when you're thinking of, as an example, either on the etheric plane or on the physical plane, okay, if somebody can go, can take a spaceship into outer space, wouldn't you think that they can go underwater? Right?
Right, I'm with you.
You know, and especially there is so much on our planet in the water, in oceans, where we haven't even gone to the depths yet. So I do feel that they're around us in that form. I also feel a lot of it is on a different frequency level. So as an example, if you're looking at a ship that, and I do feel that there are spaceships. So say you're looking at a ship that's interdimensional. The only way I can say it is this, depending on the shape of the ship, say it's cylindrical and it's turning. Sometimes when it turns, it may come frequency-wise into our realm where we might see part of it. And then it'll phase out and it looks like it just went poof and disappeared. Sometimes it's just changing realms. And sometimes it's on the spiritual plane, which means it's more on a different frequency where we will never see it physically. And then you do have physical, but I really feel personally that there isn't as much going on with that. And part of it is this, and this is just my outlook. I tend to look at it as if we find, as an example, in the Amazon, if we find a bug or a plant that we've never seen before, if you think of what the scientists are going to do with it, do those people want to come down and visit us?
That's a great point.
You know, so I tend to look at it as it's not that they don't visit. In fact, years ago, And again, it's because I'm a shaman, I have different connections. Years ago, with the Tuscarora tribe, I had a friend of mine named Chief Wise Owl. Since then, he's passed away. Wonderful, wonderful gentleman. And he was about 700 pounds. There's a reason I'm saying that. Wonderful, wonderful gentleman. And he was telling me once, and his tribe, the Tuscarora tribe, is in the North Carolina. And he said, they were in a van, and that's because of his weight. They were in a van, and they were going back towards the reservation. And he said they saw a spaceship land. He said he told them to pull over and stop because he wanted to get out and do their, I like this, their normal greeting for the UFOs. Unfortunately, he was very upset when he called me because he said the younger people from the tribe, when he said to stop for the spaceship, mm-hmm. wouldn't stop.
Why was
he
that? Could they not see it, or what was going on?
No, they saw it, which is why they did not want to stop.
Oh.
Apparently, he didn't teach them the ritual yet.
I see.
Maybe he should have taught them the ritual earlier.
Yeah, that might have been helpful.
They actually have a definite ritual to say hello because they've seen them and interacted so often. So, you know, you tend to look at it as they've been around forever. Native Americans, as an example, just take it as part of the norm. So different countries, different cultures have a different connection to them.
All right, that makes sense.
You know, it's actually funny when you think of it.
Have you seen, in the ethereal or interdimensional realm, aliens, things that we would consider to be these beings from other planets?
Well, I have, but I haven't seen them physically. I've really seen them more on the etheric plane.
All right. And how do they seem? I mean, are they happy that you see them? Are they glad that that's going on? Or are they irritated that you have that ability to connect to them?
Well, first of all, there's an occult law. And again, occult just means ancient wisdom, hidden knowledge.
Right.
And so on the paranormal, is that better?
Right. I'm with you.
There's a paranormal law that says like attracts like. So I tend to attract more positive beings because I only do positive. So it's not that I never see negative. It's not that they haven't scared me. And it's not that they don't try. It's just that usually I tend to see more positive. And I remember this one time I saw what we call light bringers, or at least that's what they were telling me they're called, translated over to something we would understand. And basically, they said their culture is that they want to bring us positive information so that we can elevate ourselves to a higher spiritual level within ourselves. Not compared to each other, just compared to ourselves. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to bring light, for lack of, you know, communication can only be limited to a point sometimes. And they're trying to bring light to teach us and to elevate us to a higher level. And they said some people are ready. Some people are not, but they're trying. And they were very, very tall beings. And they were a little bit thinner. They were made of light. So they were glowing. So I could see through them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But all I felt around them was love and warmth and safety. There was nothing negative in the way you felt around them. It was just like all this. It was like being hugged. For lack of a better term. Okay. And I was trying to ask some questions, but then they disappeared. So part of me was going, oh, come on.
Right.
So now, you never know.
Do you feel that things like these cryptids, these Bigfoot, Chupacabra, Mothman sightings that are taking place around Chicago, these large bat-like moth creatures, do you believe that these are the interdimensional beings, or do you believe that they are just creatures that live amongst us? They're just adept at hiding.
I find it's a little of both. I find with Bigfoot as an example, the way we look at it metaphysically.
Mm-hmm.
See, I didn't say occult.
Right.
The way we look at it metaphysically is that we really feel that in ancient times, when the UFOs were more dominant, that they were used as slaves and they're sentient beings. And then when the UFOs departed, they just left them here. So they've adapted to hiding and to being among the places that have more safety. When you look at the Amazon, we don't know everything in the Amazon. We don't even know all the plants and animals.
Right. They're always finding new species that exist.
Right. And when you look at the way we discover new species sometimes, you can't blame them for hiding.
Right. Yeah. I'm with you on that. Now, when you're on these ethereal planes, do you ever go to seek? I mean, do you see things like Bigfoot?
No, I really don't. And the reason I don't is because I don't have that much of an interest myself in it. So I have some knowledge in it. I've, you know, tapped into information about it psychically. But, you know, if I'm going to consciously go out and search, that's really not what I look for. I tend to look more for interdimensional beings that are going to help me learn. Okay. So as an example, I had a time where I really wasn't feeling that well. I didn't have a major health issue, but I really wasn't feeling that well, and I was asking for help because, you know, we have to work. Your body has to be able to physically get up and do ministry and teach and, you know, do everything else that we do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was on the borderline of meditation, and I saw these two beings standing above me, and it was like seeing a green light outline of what they look like. They actually look like the stones at Easter Island. But I didn't see the whole body. It was like a green electrical outline around them. And all I saw was their hands hovering over my body, and I felt all this energy. And then after a while, they went away, and I felt better like 2 minutes later, you know, a couple minutes later. And they just went away. Now, I've tried again to get in touch with them, but it never came up again. And I think it was partly because I really, really wasn't feeling well. And I just asked for help. I didn't ask for any particular being. I just asked for the master of the highest order to help me heal at that moment in that situation. Sometimes I don't use names. But I always put out that it can only be allowed in if it does not hurt my body, spirit, or soul. So, you know, we use different forms of protection for different situations. But when I consciously go out of body, I've run into stranger things than when I ask them to come to me.
And are you ever, I mean, after all these years of doing what you do and being a teacher, are you ever frightened of the things that you encounter?
Sure. Human nature.
Yeah. Okay.
But as long as I remember I'm in control, I'm always safe. It doesn't mean I don't go, oh, God.
Right.
You know, I've had situations where I was out of body, and it felt like I was walking down a path. I didn't see it physically. It just feels like you are. It's like when you're walking on the street, you're not looking down at the cement, but you know you're walking on cement.
Right.
So it's that type of a feel. So I'm walking down this path, and I knew there was a path. I didn't see anything on either side. And then this entity jumped out at me. Mm-hmm. It was on the edge of the path. It didn't come on the path. It was on the edge of the path. I honestly can't describe it because there's nothing in our reality that I can compare it to. It was just extremely, extremely scary. It was very negative. It was very malevolent. It's like you just felt hatred, you know, and it really made me jump. And even out of body, I had that kind of a reaction emotionally, but I just reinforced my protection and it went away. I also find that if I get scared by something, mm-hmm. if I automatically at this point, but in the beginning it was conscious, if I send them love and healing energy, they tend to back away. They don't like light, you know? So if I'm sending them love, it's the opposite of their energy. It's kind of like, you know, when you use a magnet, you can attract or deflect. So if I'm sending them love, and that doesn't mean, by the way, that I feel love because I really don't.
Right.
But if, you know, there's power in the word. So if I'm thinking or saying I am sending love energy to this entity, you know, it will back away because it doesn't like that feeling. Now, if I was really scared and I stay scared or angry or upset, it's going to come closer to me because it's going to feed off that negative energy. I'm actually feeding it. So you just have to consciously remember that you're a light being, because mm-hmm. even though we're in a physical body, which people misunderstand, they always think our spirit is inside our physical body, but it's actually the reverse, because when you think of your energy field, your aura is an example. Your aura is part of your spiritual being, and it's within your body, and it permeates through your body, but it's also outside your body, because when we see auras, we see it around the person. So, you know, our energy is very, very powerful, so we want to send out light and love to anything negative, because we're going to send it away. It does not like that. By the way, it sounds silly, but that took me a little while to discover, you know, because my first reaction was to panic, honestly, which made it come a little bit closer. And then I remembered it doesn't like light. So I was consciously sending love. And then I went, oh, this works.
Very cool. So that's, yeah, I mean, it's finding ways to adapt and insert yourself into these realms and be safe while doing this.
Exactly. Now, you know, what's really funny, there are classes that I can teach in an hour and a half that took 15 years of goof ups to figure out how to teach it. So it's 100% safe all the time and works.
All right. Well, that's good. You know? That's the kind of confidence I like to hear. Well, talk to me about when you're traveling astral and you're visiting, and I mean, you've got the ability to see energy and sense things around people. And I, you know, we've heard stories, and you were talking about kind of evoking the jinn to do your work for you, and we can do that with angels and other beings. Can those be used to harm others as well? Can we send, like a golem from ancient text, can we send these supernatural beings to do harm to others?
Definitely.
And is that a curse? Is that what we would consider
a curse?
Okay.
Well, it's two different things. Mm-hmm. So one is you can send a negative being or a negative entity, which of course we don't do, but people that are negative can. Okay. The other thing is that we can send it with direct energy. So as an example, there are energy centers in our body that are very powerful. So we can use it consciously as positive and negative depending on who we are individually. So as an example, like we've all heard of the evil eye, right?
Right.
And that's very real, because when we're sending energy through our eyes, it's very, very, very powerful. It's very focused. It's kind of like a laser beam. So as an example, you can send it negatively to do harm, or a lot of times that way we will use it to send healing. It depends on how you use it. The energy is neutral. It's like I do Qigong and Tai Chi. And even in martial arts, they know that, you know, you have certain centers that you need to focus energy in to be able to kind of collect it, for lack of a better term, store it and send it. So it's a matter of how you choose to use it. So sometimes you can do it consciously if you're cursing somebody, as an example. Sometimes it's just very, very focused negative thought through a longer period of time. It doesn't mean you're doing it consciously. So as an example, if somebody is very jealous of somebody else and they're jealous for months and months and months, eventually they're sending negative energy. It doesn't mean they're aware that they're doing it. But we still need to block it and cancel it.
All right. Well, okay. Now when you're doing a reading for someone, say mm-hmm. I'm meeting with you to do a reading to, you know, communicate with the other side or just kind of figure out what's going on. When you look at me through your psychic eye or what all, do you see when there is this negative attachment of curse, whether it's intentional or unintentional? Do you see that as part of our aura or our energy field?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what does that look like to you? When you see a curse like that attached to somebody, what does it look like? For those of us that don't have your ability to see or sense it, what is that like?
Well, it actually comes up in different ways. Sometimes I see it as very, very dark, between gray and black energy, depending on the level being around the person, usually in more one area than the other. It's not like the whole aura or energy. So sometimes I see like that dark spot. Sometimes I will actually see, for lack of a better term, as an example, I've actually seen some little creature, I don't know how to describe it, where it had little claws and it was just literally hanging by its claws on the person's aura.
Hmm.
And it would just, the technical term is yucky.
Well, that sounds scientific in nature.
Well, of course.
Maria, so when you can see these little yucky things, are they able to see you? Do they realize that you can see them?
Yeah, they see you. Yeah, most of the time they see you. But then I'm protected, so I don't care if they see me. And we can get rid of them. But see, this is the difference. Occult and psychic information is different. They're totally different fields. I happen to do both, but they're different fields. So some people do one, some people do the other, some of us do both. The difference is, if you're working psychically, it's extremely passive. So it's as though your source, I tend to look at it as divine power, but whatever you call your source is at one end of the line. The person that you're doing the reading for is at the other end of the line, and you're just the wire when we used to have wires.
Okay.
So pretty much what you're doing is you're getting yourself out of the way to pass on the information. So I always laugh because if I talk to somebody in my field and they're going, oh, they're 100% accurate and they're great, I try not to laugh because we're doing nothing. The best you can say about yourself, if you're the best psychic on the planet, is you're okay as a tool. Big deal. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not like I did research. I didn't look into anything. I'm just getting myself out of the way to pass on information. Occult is the opposite. It's you understand the laws of nature to work with them to create positive situations or to get rid of negative situations in a positive way. Now, that doesn't mean people aren't negative and going on the darker side. I just don't. So there's always a positive way to do it. So we always do it in a positive way. So in a reading, and this is how I explain readings all the time. When I do a reading, I tell the person exactly what I see. I don't put any information into it that's my opinion because that's not psychic. So if I'm telling somebody something positive in a reading, if they leave their life alone, it's exactly how it's coming up. It's their natural path of life. If I'm telling them something negative, it will always tell them what caused it, what the negative situation is, and it will always tell them what they can do themselves to improve it, change it, or to do something to make it better because they have free will. It will never tell them what I can do for them. If I'm saying, well, I can fix it for you for $8 million, does that sound right to you?
If I had $8 million, it would sound right, but no, I get what you're saying.
So in a reading, it always tells the person what they can do themselves to improve the situation. Whether they improve it or not, that's free will. Now, if something negative is coming up where they have absolutely no control over it, at all, I will never get the information because they can't do anything with it. It's useless. Only time I get negative is when they can still do something to make it better.
All right,
so
that makes sense.
Really how it works.
Mm-hmm. But if we're, you know, and we all fall into that sand trap of negativity and anger, pettiness, jealousy, whatever, and thinking ill thoughts of others. It just happens. And anybody that says they don't do that is full of crap.
We're human.
Right. We all do that. So we're sending this negative energy to people. And if I'm not even aware somebody's mad at me or jealous or irritated at my being, how do I start to protect myself from something when I don't know which direction the arrows are coming from?
Well, we have a lot of different techniques. Okay, so we have something, as an example, I'm trying to think of easy things that people can actually do listening to the show. So as an example, there's a gemstone called a tiger eye. It doesn't matter if it's a raw stone. The size doesn't matter because it's vibrational. It's frequency. You don't have to believe in herbs, gemstones, or oils, essential oils. They work on vibrations. So as an example, if you're using a tiger eye, and that just means with gemstones, herbs, oils, if you use them within 3 feet of your body, you know, 3 feet or closer, they will work towards you. It's like a magnet. If it's farther away from you, they're still working, but not necessarily for you. So if you're using a tiger eye, that's a protection stone. However, it's also a boomerang. So
I'm sorry, say that part again. We're getting some weird audio effect where once in a while when you start to say something, your voice just kind of just goes crazy on us and distorts. So say that part again for me, just so we can hear clearly.
Okay. A tiger eye is a protection stone, but it is also considered a boomerang. So it protects you, but if you're getting negative energy sent to you long term, because like you said, we're human, we all get upset. If I'm mad at somebody, nothing's going to happen. If I'm mad at them for months, eventually something's going to go on.
Okay.
But we all get mad, upset, depressed, angry. It's human nature. That's not going to do anything. It's more a matter of consistency and time and the level of anger, really.
But isn't that kind of what we do? I mean, people, you know, their resentment and anger seems to grow over time. So we might be living in a place of ultimate curse. So if we find ourselves in this situation, I to help reverse this, because I got to guess throwing that negativity out, it's got to work in a boomerang effect where it's coming back and kicking our ass karmically. Even though we don't realize we're doing
that, if you're doing it long term.
Okay.
So, like you said, if you're doing that, say somebody's sending it to you.
Oh, Maria, the other side is trying to interrupt our conversation. The other side is trying to interrupt our conversation, Maria, because you are chopping up crazy right now.
They don't want us to be safe.
That's the most. Listen, we're evoking all of the good spirits and angels to come forth right now and keep this this conversation afloat and keep our connection true and strong. So all of you angels of internet connectability, please work your magic with us and continue this on. All right, I'm sorry. So, yes, if people are focused for a long time negatively, and that is going to have some karmic retribution on us, and it is also going to start wearing down the security of the person whom they're sending all that negativity towards, is it, and I know this answer already, but I'm going to throw it out there. I'm thinking about it, and there are days. Listen, there are people in my life that just irritate the living hell out of me, and I probably focus too much on that. Maybe what's best for my soul, and help me if I'm right on this or not, in those moments that I'm the most frustrated and irritated, instead of throwing the negativity at them, maybe it's at those moments that I just pray for peace for that person, and I pray for them to get the answers that they need, and that my mind be refreshed and cleared of this anger and resentment.
Well, I think that's a very positive way to deal. Now, honestly, I'm not as good as you.
Well, I didn't say I'm good. I'm just saying that may be something I'm going to try to implement because, again, I want more positivity in my life as well.
Of course. Well, I find this is what I do personally. Okay. I find, of course, there are situations that I get really upset. I get really angry. I get hurt, you know, because human, right? So I find this is what I do. If I find that I'm really upset or angry at a particular person as opposed to a situation, okay, then I'll get angry and I'll go, and then I use the word cancel. So I'll go cancel, 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 because I don't want to send out anything inadvertently. If I'm conscious of it and I'm really upset, I will send people blessings that I'm really upset with because I don't want to accidentally hurt them, because I am an occultist and I'm good at magic, so as soon as I think it hits quicker than it would with somebody else, and I don't want to hurt anybody by accident. So I'm always blessing people upset.
I like how you say by accident. I don't want to hurt anybody by accident. When I hurt somebody, Dave, I want to make sure I meant it.
I don't ever want to do that. But what happens is if I'm really, you know, if I'm upset, I have to consciously be aware and I cancel it, or this is funny. I was really angry at somebody one day, and I spent a couple of, you know, hours going, I bless you, I bless you, I bless you. I did not mean it from the heart, but I wasn't hurting them.
Right. You were at least sending good, positive traffic their way.
Because there's power in the word.
Right.
Whether you think of it mentally or verbally, and usually verbally has more power because of the vibration.
So next time I'm going to just look the person in the eye, do my best to avoid the evil eye that I would give to them, and I'll just say, oh, I'm praying for you. Oh, yeah. Oh, am I praying for you right now? Oh, you have no idea how much I'm praying for you. And, yeah. Oh, I'm wishing you well. Wish you a lot of well. Maybe that
and
is
again,
the way to handle
it. I don't
it. Yeah.
mean it when I bless them.
Right, right.
But there's power in the word. I don't want to accidentally make a boo-boo and hurt them.
Right.
Because we really, and it's really funny, like I said, as an example, if, you know, you have people that are always trying to control everybody else, and you have people where, you know, they're into power. They have to be in control. We all know people like that, you know, and it's really funny. There's a stone called jasper, which, by the way, is one of the strongest healing stones on the planet. But jasper, if you carry it, it doesn't allow people to actually control you. It doesn't let them dominate you. So some stones work for different reasons.
That's interesting. And stones can mm-hmm. have that kind of power. See, I mean, I've heard of the gemology mm-hmm. and I've heard of all of these deals. But again, you know, to me, that's like the hardest to believe. Okay, so I can't.
But again, it's vibrational,
right,
which is the good thing. So you don't have to believe it. That's like with crystals. Mm-hmm. We use them in watches. We use them with radios. We're still using them. We're just using them different than, say, at the time of Atlantis.
All
or
right.
at the time of Mu. But we're still using crystals just in different ways.
Okay, so I want to just get a full understanding of this, too. If people are feeling, and I know Tim and I have talked about it on the show, and we've talked to other people regarding curses, and people that feel like they're being cursed, how do you, if you feel like you're being cursed but don't understand why, what can you do to start to rebuke that? And I often wonder, if we're so focused on the fear of being cursed, are we, in a sense, cursing ourselves because we're lowering our vibration to that level?
Well, actually, I agree with you on that, because if you're focused on, oh, what if I have a curse on me? What if I get cursed? You know, it's that self-fulfilling prophecy. Like if somebody says to you, as an example, that they feel that in 2 days you're going to, you know, hurt your ankle. Okay. Within 2 days, you're so focused on, oh, my God, that's going to happen. You're going to happen. You know, you're going to have it happen because you're creating it. So whatever your main focus is, you're going to actually attract it. That's like we always know people that are going, oh, I always have a headache. And then when they get a headache, they're the only people that are surprised.
No, I always get headaches and I'm not surprised by them at all. I'm just irritated and agitated by them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but it's different when you have a headache and then you think of it after, as opposed to you're always focused on it ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I had a gentleman as a client years ago, and he was always saying, you know, he's always unlucky. Nothing works for him. Everything's terrible. You know, we finally got to the point where he kept saying, I'm always lucky. Did not believe it, by the way, but he started saying it. And through time, things started changing around him. You know, it worked out really well. He was actually winning things all the time. This one time he won tickets to a baseball game mm-hmm. and the theater for the same day. He couldn't go to both. So lucky me, I got theater tickets.
All right. So what you're what we're talking about again is sending out intention. So
right,
that you're,
exactly.
And that is in its sense, its own protection. And when you say, and maybe this is part of it, folks, journal it yourself, jot it down, say it every morning. You know, I keep a little, yellow stickies on my mirror in my bathroom. So while I'm getting ready in the morning, I'll say these affirmations to myself, which I know a lot of people, still feel that's woo woo and tree huggy stuff. But by saying affirmations and really kind of putting yourself into that mindset of this is what I deserve, this is what I desire, and this is what is part of my life, you open up for that to actually take place, as opposed to, man, I wish things would go better for me. Man, if you're specific and say things are going great, I'm in a healthy place, I'm you know, in a loving relationship, I have fantastic, healthy children, and you put that out there, that starts to reverberate, because it's, what is it, the old term, fake it till you make it. When you keep right. telling yourself that and you're building that muscle and keeping away from the negativity of, man, my life sucks and nothing ever goes my way and blah, 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 and we live behind that victimization shell, we're only going to draw that crap right to us.
You know, I do the affirmations myself a lot of times in the morning because I really feel you're setting up the day and the vibration for that. You're staying more positively focused, like you said. And I was actually putting out a while ago in a specific way that I really want financial freedom in my life. And a couple of different forms came in. In fact, if anybody wants to get in touch with me, I can let them know about it because there's more than one form. And at that point, you go, oh, now I have different choices for financial freedom because the better you do financially, mm-hmm. the more you can help other people. Okay. Every now and then I hear people go, oh, money is evil. And it's like, no. What it said was that the love of money, if you put that before your belief system, that that's not positive. But, you know, if you look at divine power, God really wanted us to be happy. Divine power wants us to do well. Okay. So the better you do, the more people you can help. Because really, if you're starving on the street, who are you going to help?
Right.
You know, so that's why we work on financial freedom. And there's different ways where we can achieve that. And again, it's not people because, oh, I'm being selfish. I don't deserve it. How are you going to help other people? If you don't have a car and you have a friend that's stranded, you can't go and pick them up.
No, that makes complete and utter sense. And what do you think about, okay, that's starting your day. So you start the day that way. Is a good thing at the end of the night to change your mindset and help you maybe be free of negativity and thoughts is to live in a latitude of gratitude where you think about the things that did go well for you that day and just kind of let that be what surrounds you at night. So instead of focusing on, man, if I would have been the fifth caller, I would have won that $100. Instead, just be like, I am so thankful I have a cell phone so that I can be in touch with my friends and family and the things that do matter. I'm thankful for this. And again, I know this sounds tree huggy and woo woo, but you know, I believe there is a lot to the power of intention, power of belief, and what words, you know, the strength of words that can be given or taken from others. You know, and if you don't believe me, say the simple, kindest thing to somebody and a stranger and watch their personality change. It's amazing to me. So if you have a lack of faith that words have power, just do that. And if you, again, have lack of faith that words have power, think about the many times you've walked into a room after somebody's had a fight and you can feel the tension and you had no clue that a fight took place, but it just felt sick and thick in the air. You tell me that isn't it. And if you are someone who fights with your spouse or loved one or friend or relative in your bedroom and you wonder why you can't sleep at night and you wonder why you're restless and uncomfortable, because if it's a place of tension and aggravation, then you're just that whole room is just cluttered with crap.
So well, I agree with you.
That's rare. Not many women do. So I appreciate that.
No, I agree with you 100% on that. I find that the first thing I do in the morning is put up protection for the day because I have, you know, the field I'm in, I don't know what I'm going to run across, whether it's in the physical plane, somebody being annoyed because, you know, they're in traffic and they don't like that I'm sitting at the red light and didn't run it, or, you know, on the spiritual plane. So I put up protection for the day and I do focus on positive things, like you said. And at the end of the day, before I go to sleep, I put up protection throughout the night till daylight because all your defenses are down and you are more susceptible. So I always put up protection during the night and I focus on being thankful. Mm-hmm. I always say thanks and I try to find, even if it's the worst day I've ever had, I know there's something positive that day. Sometimes you have to look harder than others, but it's there. And the more positive that you can think of for the day, the better you're going to feel. And I find also what people don't realize a lot of times, if we're calling in a spirit or an interdimensional being and we're asking them for help, sometimes people forget that when they're done working with us, we have to thank them. We can't pay them with money. We can't pay them with anything physical because they're not in the physical realm. But if we're grateful for the help, if we're saying thank you, and if we're sending them love, it's actually energy where you're paying them. It's kind of like the barter system.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually paying them. Now, if you're sending love and that type of energy to somebody that's a friend or somebody on the planet, you're sending them healing. You know, whether they're conscious of it or not, the energy will help. It really does make
right.
a difference.
And that's like the effect of prayer. We've seen prayer requests, whether you believe in God or whatever, by the focus and intention of many people coming together with a positive focus for something better to happen, whether it's praying that the storm would veer off from the Florida area and seeing that it did lessen in a lot of the areas because we have our listeners around the world focused on that, or people that have written in with prayer requests because of something medical or life stress in their life, and we put out these prayer and healing requests and some of these life-changing, life-altering moments that can only be described as miracles begin to happen, and that is because the magic does work around us. And, you know, there's something that I'm remembering now, and a good friend of mine does this, and I'm starting to think about the practice of magic and how magic is real, and it's around us all the time. She has what's called a gratitude jar. She jots down things that she's happy about or that went well for her that day, and she puts them in a jar. And then when she's mm-hmm. having negative days and can't find positivity, she'll reach into this jar and start reading these things. And what she's doing is evoking those memories, that feeling again, to lift her vibration up. But she's also creating a spell, because you know this as well as I do. When you're doing a spell, writing it down gives it so much more power.
And oh, definitely.
Creating and manifesting it that way. And that's why sometimes you take what angers you, write it all out, and then burn it and give it back to the universe. Get rid of it. It's out of your system now. So maybe the great idea really is here, when you're feeling these moments of cursed, you may be cursed, but it may have absolutely nothing to do with the people around you. It's the way you treat yourself, and it's the way that you let the dirty water in. And you're not going to sink unless the water gets in. And what you need to do is start pumping it out and refilling it with fresh, clean air, whether it's positive affirmations, whether it's moments of gratitude and remembering the good things. And folks, trust me, even on your worst day, there are good things to remember. There are good things to kind of hold on to, whether it's listening to your favorite paranormal podcast or true crime podcast or hearing a song that made you happy. Those are very powerful moments, and that might have been what you needed at that exact moment. You might have gotten a message, or you might have gotten a smile or a laugh, and that may have been that moment. Let that build. Instead of expecting lightning bolts, sometimes just enjoy the lightning bugs.
I love that. That was really good. I like the lightning bugs.
Thank you.
And I find a lot of times, too, I've run across people where, as an example, this lady called me up because she was having all sorts of issues in the house, and she called me to come over and cleanse the house of negative spirits because she felt there were negative spirits in the house. And she said to me, I really need to tell her husband that all these situations and arguments that are going on, they're not her fault. It's because there's a negative spirit in the house. So I went, and there was nothing there. Now, I can't charge somebody for something that's not there.
Right.
But she didn't want to say anything is her. She just needed to blame it on something other than herself.
Right. The point had to be somewhere.
And I'm sure she hired somebody that took her money.
Right.
You know? So sometimes you have to look at it and say, you know what? Okay, maybe I can do a little bit better. You know, and if I made a mistake, it's okay. I'm learning from it, and I'm moving forward. Okay? Because really, in life, everything is a learning experience, and I always think of life as an adventure. You know, sometimes better than other times, but we're always learning.
Well, you know,
and
you know what? In that sense,
on the positive, it changes it.
Maybe in that sense, Maria, next time you get the client who really just wants to be affirmed that things are better, and that their source of anger and frustration isn't coming from themselves but somewhere else, maybe what you do is you do charge them. And you take that money and you do the job so that they feel better psychologically and maybe a little more centered. And then maybe a few days later, you just put that money in an envelope and mail it to them anonymously, so they suddenly get an envelope full of money. And, you know, I bet that will have a way to brighten their day as well. You know,
that's actually a good idea. But usually what I do is I work through it with them, and
sure,
before I leave, they're okay about it.
Or just send it to me. Just send it to Marie,
Maria,
because I'll make sure that it goes to a good charity, the Schrader Home for Wayward Children, and I'll take care of everybody. Maria, it's been a pleasure. Our time is up. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope that you'll come back and chat with us more about magic and Halloween as we get closer.
And thank you so much. You know, this was so great. And, you know, you're so knowledgeable. It's really such a pleasure talking to you.
Well, it's my pleasure. I love chatting with somebody that's passionate about making people's lives better on Beyond the Darkness.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.